is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. Now, if you've died to Christ, if you've died to the world, died to sin, you're going to live with Christ. If we suffer, we shall also reign. I don't like suffering, do you? No, I don't like that. I don't like it, but he says, if we do, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Now, how many of you would like to reign? Oh, all of us want to reign, but how many of us want to suffer? Hey, nobody holding their hand. Well, it don't work like that. Betty, you're going to have to suffer a little if you're going to reign a little. You know that? Isn't that something? If we deny him, he will also deny us. Verse 13 and 14. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Verse 15 and 16. Study to show yourself approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do what? Did it say read it? You little girls here, did God tell you to read his word? No. What did he tell you to do to it? You know what that means? You've been far enough in school to know that when you come home, you can read your school lessons once, and you probably didn't learn much, right? You have to read it over and over and practice those math problems and all that. You have to study. We don't like that, do we? No, we don't. None of us. But if you don't study, can you pass your class? No. Huh, sure. See? So what did God tell you to do for his word? Study. So you can what? Show yourself approved unto God. You want to be approved unto God? I thought so. I know I do, don't you? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So when that college professor someday comes and tells you, there's no God, you'll say, Professor, let me tell you, I know him. He's my Lord and my Savior. And if everybody sitting here stands up and laughs at me, that's okay. I'm still going to say Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. Is that the way it's got to be? That's the way it's got to be. And that's what they're doing today to so many of our children. We're not teaching our children who God is and his power and what he does. And the average person in church today was like I was until I was 35 years old. I had never seen a healing and never seen a miracle. So if you'd have come to me and said, how do you know God's real? I just said, well, I read the word. I know he's real. Have you ever heard his voice? No. You ever seen him do a miracle? No. I mean, you ever seen him do a healing? No. Well, how do you know he's real? He's not real. But you couldn't tell me that no more. A few thousand healings later and 100 or so miracles later. Like today, I always go back to Johnny Brumfield. I mean, to think of the day that I laid hands on that man down in Manny, Louisiana, and quoted God's word, and I watched a man that had not walked a step in 21 months, had steel from his waist all the way to his ankles, and I laid my hands on his knees and prayed one short little prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, according to John 14:13-14, give this man two brand new legs. Thank you, Lord. It's done in Jesus' name. I said, you believe it? He said, I believe it. I said, then take that steel off and stand up and walk. And Johnny Brumfield took the steel off and stood up and walked. Now, let me tell you, when you've seen God do something like that, and when that professor says, there ain't no God, you say, you got to me too late, Mr. Professor. Is that right? If you were to try to convince Johnny Brumfield there ain't no God, do you think it would be possible? No, absolutely not. This man had surgery, had pins, plates, steel, pins, screws, everything put in his legs, and he ain't walked a step in 21 months. His feet hang straight down. They'd even reverse the tendons in there to try to make them pick back up, and nothing worked. And for 21 months, he couldn't move his feet, legs, or nothing within steel braces. And one simple prayer, he was instantly totally healed and run out to church and back in. Now, when God does something like that, do you have to be convinced that there is a God? I mean, we know there's a God, don't we? Who healed that man that day? God did. Wow. Johnny Brumfield's still alive and well. We all know him. Man, is he, if you haven't heard Johnny give his testimony, you need to get a copy of the Testimonies of Miraculous Healings back there. And his is on there. And he's one of many. But he says, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. When people start arguing about God, he's not real. Just walk off and forget him. Nah. It ain't no use me trying to talk to you. God is real. You ain't going to convince me no other way. Don't argue with them. Just walk off and leave them. 17 and 18. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. And of course, we always got these false teachers. You always got false teachers. And 19 and 20 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, you need to let that soak in on you just a minute. Iniquity, that's sin that you know is wrong. That's what iniquity is. You've heard God say, don't do this, don't do that. Iniquity is sin you know is sin. In other words, if you've heard it say, don't lie. Has everybody heard that? God says, don't lie. If we lie, that's iniquity. Because we knew it was wrong before we did it. So that's iniquity. He says, we are to depart. If let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Our known sins, we are depart from the everything we've been taught from God's word. What he says he doesn't like, what should we do? Depart from it. We should, no lying, no stealing, no cheating, no none of those things. All murder, all those things that God said in his word that we know, no adultery, none of, no sex outside of wedlock, none of those kinds of things should a man or a woman be involved in if they're a Christian. We're to depart from all these things. We're depart from these things. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Let's see what the next verse says. If a man therefore purge himself from these, this iniquity and all these things, if you purge yourself from all sin, all iniquity, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Now, do you want to be a vessel unto honor? I do too. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and fit for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Now that if you've purged yourself from iniquity, you've purged yourself from all sin, all evil, and you're walking totally holy and obedient to God's word, when the master comes along and says, oh, I've got this guy by the name of Bill Wallace out there in Hobbs. I need to heal him of cancer. I think I'll send one of my sons out there to get him healed. Which one you think he's going to send? One that's living in sin? Or one that's living holy before God? What did he just say there? The one that's the vessel unto honor. Do you want to be a vessel to honor? Me too. I want to be a vessel unto honor to the Lord. Because he says there, if a man therefore purge himself from these, iniquity, evil, all sin, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and fit for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Do you want to see God do good works in your life? I went into West Texas the other day. I was out there when I was out at GLC. I went up to see a man that owned an insurance agency. He wanted me to come see him, so I drove up there to see him. When I got there, there was a man in his office. Oh, Thurman, praise God. He said, I'm glad you come here at the perfect time. Said, meet so-and-so. He's my good friend, and he has cancer. So I sat there with him for an hour or whatever, hour and a half. I talked to him about unforgiveness. I talked to him about sin. I talked to him about putting God first, and he repented of everything. I said, okay. God told me to lay hands on you, and he'll heal you. I went over and just said, be healed in the name of Jesus. That's all I did. 4 or 5 weeks later, the man's name is also Bill that owns the insurance agency. He called me and said, Thurman, that guy that you prayed for the other day in my office, he's back in here today jumping up and down and screaming. He has no cancer. He's healed. What are we? Are we supposed to be used of the Master? Isn't it worth purging yourself of all evil and iniquity to be used of God for His glory? Wouldn't you love to have God use you as a vessel of gold, silver? I don't want to be wood, hay, and stubble. Do you? No, I don't want to be those, because He's not going to use you very much. If you're just wood, hay, and stubble, He's not going to use you much. And then He tells you in verse 22, some of the things you have to get rid of. Flee also youthful lust. What are some of those things? When you're young, when you're 18 years old, oh, look at that red Corvette over there. I got to have one of them. Oh, got to have that new Corvette. I know none of you guys ever had those lustful youths besides me. When you were young, Tom, did you lust for cars? Oh, you're just like me. You know, I saw this 53 Ford convertible. It was a year or two old. I said, I got to have that. Ooh, and boy, after I got that, don't you get in my car with muddy feet. I mean, that car was my God. You know what I mean, don't you? Stupid. But what did the Lord tell us to do with all these lusts? Flee from them. Get away from them. But there's many different kinds of lust that we lust for when we're young. The young men, they lust to make $1 million when they're 30 years old. I mean, almost every young man I ever met, his goal, he wants to be a millionaire until he's 30 or 35. Nobody wants to work hard all their life and keep working hard the rest of their life. You know, but God said in His Word, there's no quick get-rich scheme. He said, now, if you'll work hard and diligently and do what I tell you, I will bless you, and I'll provide all of your needs. He didn't promise you you'd have $1 million time you're 30 years old. I can't find that in the Scripture nowhere. But that's what we all want, and we want it because we don't want to have to work for it. But do you know, if you'll diligently work, God will bless you all of your life.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, A Vessel of Honor for God's Glory, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.